And we're continuing, we're preaching through the book of Genesis, and been a fascinating study. We all completely understand the first part of Genesis 6 now, so that's no problem. So, such an easy passage of Scripture. We looked at the unruly last week, and our main outline we're using in chapters 1 and 2 was the creation. Chapter 3, already to chapter number 4, verse 15, was the curse. And now in chapter number 4, verse 16, all the way to the end of chapter number 9, we're looking at the catastrophe. We've already studied at the end of chapter 4 to end of chapter 6, a world fast ripening for judgment. In doing that, we said, number 1, God's assessment of those times. And God looked and we saw in verses, all the way from chapter 4, verse 16 to chapter 6, verse 7, the ungodly and the unworldly, or the godly line, and then the unruly there at the first part of chapter number 6. We're going to look at tonight verse number 8 and get as far as we can, and we'll read to the end of the chapter, then we'll have a word of prayer. From chapter 6 and verse number 8 says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for good for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, again for this night. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I pray that's all we would be focused upon tonight. I pray to remove me, Lord, any distraction that the devil would love to send. I pray you just help us to grow in our knowledge of you. I pray that, Lord, you take this word now and speak to our hearts and open our eyes that we would behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, I just pause and I pray tonight for Brother Tyler, who's preaching down at Hope. I pray for Brother Slee out in Kansas tonight. I pray for Brother Davis, who has been struggling with his back and the pain he's in. I pray for the many in our church who are traveling. And Father, I pray you just keep them safe. I pray, Father, Lord, for my parents and their health. Lord, I pray for Renee, a soul, that God, you might be with her and the cancer she has, and I pray you might work in her life in a wondrous way. And Father, I just pray for Miss Bev Everman, who's struggling today really bad with her migraines, and I pray you'd help her. And the many others who maybe would love to be here or just physically can't, I pray you'd encourage them tonight. May they know we love them. And Father, we just pray now you bless the preaching of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here in Genesis chapter number 6, it is good tonight. Have some visitors with us. So glad the Snells are here tonight, and then my uncle and his family are here tonight. It's good to see them. It's good to see Brother Mullis, Miss Mullis, here with us tonight, and that's a blessing. And Brother Elijah, saw him come in with his wife, and Praise the Lord. Good to see you all as well. And everybody else, it's good to see you. And looking forward to what God has for us. Let's look at this real quick. All right. We saw, number one, God's assessment of those times and the ungodly, unworldly, unruly. Number two, God's answer to those times. God's answer. So we had these different groups. We had the ungodly line of Cain, the godly line of Seth. And then we came to the days of Noah, which we know the Bible says that when we see this being repeated, we should be looking up because the Lord's going to return soon. I believe we definitely are in these last days. But God's answer to these times is simply this. In verses 8 through 13, you see a man named Noah. Again, we mentioned this before, that God never has and never will leave this world without a witness. Someone to speak the truth. And for this time, at this time, this was Noah. Let's look at a little bit about Noah here. In verses 8 through 10, we see, number one, he was endeared by God. God loved Noah. Amen. And Noah loved God. In verses 8, you see here that Noah was forgiven. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was forgiven. Grace is, again, getting what we do not deserve. And God has poured out His grace in every one of our lives. God's been good to me. He's been good to you. Yeah. Amen? Good to three of you. That's awesome. All right. Rest of you, I want you to know, God's been good to you. Amen. But God's good to every one of us. And God showed us and poured out His grace upon Noah's life. And Noah did not receive God's grace because of what family he was in.
Right.
Thank the Lord for the family he was in, but not everybody in his family was choosing to do right. Or else there'd be a whole lot more people on the ark. God did not bless Noah with grace because he had chosen Noah and not chosen other people. God's gift, salvation, is for everybody. Noah was godly because he found grace the same way we find grace. According to Hebrews chapter number 11, by faith, he did what he did. You and I, if we're recipients of God's grace tonight, it's because we believe too. For by grace are you saved through faith, and it not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The fact is this, Noah believed God. Noah believed what the Lord had said. And God gave grace in his life. I'm thankful tonight. God's grace is abundant in my life. And God's grace is abundant in your life. Because God is good to us. And praise the Lord, if you're saved tonight, it's because you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Noah found grace in the eye. He was forgiven. Number two, he was faithful. He was faithful. It says in verse number 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was, number one, he was a just man. Just. Noah was converted. The word just means justified. Again, the moment that you got saved, in God's eyes, miracle of miracles, but the day I got saved, it was just as if I'd never sinned. Somehow, all of my sin was replaced with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved, that should make anybody want to shout and thank the Lord. God took our sin, nailed it to the cross. And the moment that I believed, He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. What a blessing. Noah was a just man. He had been converted. I believe, and I stand with this, that everyone in the Old Testament was saved the same way that we're saved. Yes. The only difference was they believed in what was to come. We believed in what has happened. But it's faith in the Lord. And Noah was counted just. And then it says not just just, but it says he was just and perfect in his generation. Not only was he converted, but he was complete. The word perfect means complete, mature. He had strengthened himself in the things of God. He was a mature believer. So he was converted and he was complete. And I would add this in verse number 9, he was consistent. Perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. You know why Noah was perfect? And by that phrase, meaning he was complete, he was mature, he was that way because he walked with God. And I know we harp on this a lot at church, but it's because it is so important. Next to your salvation is the most important experience that you'll ever have in your life. But a believer, you'll never understand and you'll never live the life that God intends for you to live if you do not have a walk with God. Just start. Have a time when you pray, have a time when you read God's word, but have a walk with God. Noah walked with the Lord. He heard God's voice, and God heard his. But he walked with the Lord. So you see here, this man Noah, he was forgiven, he was faithful. And then you see in verse number 10, he was fruitful. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You say, fruitful, he only had three children. But my, what grandchildren he had. Right. Some of you didn't get that. That's all of us, right? We all came from Noah, right? And from his three sons, right? He was fruitful. I don't care who you are. You can trace your way all the way back right there, right? I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, right? So he's fruitful. So you see, he was endeared by God. And number two, he was enlightened by God. Verse 11, 12, and 13. He was enlightened by God. In verse 11 and 12, you see God reviews the world. It says, and the earth was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. The earth was filthy and vile. It was filled with violence. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This culture that we live in today is getting more wicked and more vile every day. Violence. The lead story about every night on the news. Yep. The rioting, the beating, the hurting, the murder. We live in a society, and America is pretty tame to many others. But the fact is this, that we live in a culture that's filthy and vile, that boast in their wickedness. Violence, every night you hear of it, every day you read of it. But God reviews the world, and then in verse number 13, God reveals his wrath. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God reveals his wrath, and number one, that there is an end. God is going to judge the world because of this sin. We know that's to be a flood, and he'll describe that in a little bit. But we read last week, he repented the Lord that he had made man. The word repentance, again, means a change of mind, which leads to a change of direction. God didn't sin. Right. Amen. But he brought about life, and now he's going to bring about destruction and death because of sin. But praise the Lord, even though there was an end, there would be an escape. Amen for that. God has always provided a way of salvation. So you see a man, God's answer to these times, a man, and then you see in verses 14 to 22, his plan. His plan. First of all, in verse 14, 15, and 16, you see that this plan would be fashioned after the work of Christ. Judgment was coming. Now again, we are preaching the same thing. Judgment is coming. Right. I'm thankful that I'm saved. Amen? Amen? There is a judgment that is yet to come. Now God's not going to destroy the earth with water and a flood. God made a promise. He put a rainbow in the sky, a token to remind us of that each and every day. But the fact is this, judgment is coming. This earth will one day burn with a fervent heat, Peter says, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. I don't care who you are, we all will stand before God one day. To us who are saved, we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. To those who are lost, they will stand at the great white throne. But make no mistake, everyone will give an account of himself to God.
You and I both will one day stand before this God. There is a judgment to come. The book of Revelation speaks of much of the judgment when the wrath and the vials and the trumpets and all these things are poured out, the time of Jacob's trouble, that this world is heading towards a time that is never seen before. You think this last year was bad? Oh, no. Far worse. God will not wink at sin. He's patient. He's long-suffering. But judgment is coming. Now, before this event, Enoch, he walked with God and was not, for God took him. Amen?
Right.
And praise the Lord, before this judgment, there'll be a rapture.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
That could happen tonight.
Amen.
You know, the older I get, the more I join with John. When I was young, I was just like, you know, I'm glad I'm saved, but, you know, you have this checklist of things you want to get done in life, right? I've reached that point now, even so come quickly, Lord. All right, you know,
amen.
I know some of you young people are like, woo, all right, yeah. But, you know, I the world, it's not getting better.
That's right.
And I'm starting to have a whole lot of people I can't wait to see again.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to that. But there was judgment coming, and there was a rapture. Enoch was taken out. And I believe that's the next event that we will face here on this earth. There will be a rapture. The Lord will take all of us who have believed in Him to heaven. But even after that, even though the world and all those who have heard the truth, according to the book of Thessalonians, will believe a lie, but there still will be some, God will never leave Himself without a witness, who will go during that time to people who have not heard, and He'll preach the gospel, these people will. We know of two witnesses that will speak in the streets of Jerusalem. We know of 100,000 that will go about and preach to those who had not heard. There'll be a witness. But God's judgment's coming. I taught my Sunday school class this morning out of the book of Exodus in chapter number 9. And I found it very fascinating there, right in the middle of all the 10 plagues. Before the plague, when the hailstones would fall and fire mingled with these hailstones, that the Lord told Moses to tell all the people of Israel, tomorrow at this time, these hailstones will fall. And then the Lord told Moses to tell them this. Bring your cattle in. Bring your servants in. It's a little bit different than a lot of the other plagues that had happened. But God was a merciful God. God gave warning to people, and God told them, and the Bible says there in Exodus chapter 9 that they that feared the Lord brought in their cattle and their servants into the houses. But they that feared not the Lord, their servants, their cattle, their possessions were destroyed in the hailstones. I taught my Sunday school class this morning, tomorrow is coming. The Lord said, tomorrow. You know, He could have sent the hailstones down right then and been completely just in doing so. But He said, tomorrow, at this time, God wanted them to prepare.
Right.
And some did. The Bible says so.
Right.
Judgment is coming. And God here in this passage of Scripture, He warns them that judgment is coming. There was a rapture as Enoch is taken out. And then the rest of those that were there, Noah was a preacher of righteousness.
Right.
I believe for those 100 years he was building that ark that he continued to preach.
Amen.
The Bible says so.
Right.
Say, how many people believed him? Just as boys. They're the only ones that got in the ark with him and his wife and their wives.
Right.
The rest of them, when Noah said, it's going to rain, the flood is coming, the judgment is coming, the rest of them said, I don't believe it. Just as in the days ahead, there'll be so many who believe a lie. Judgment is not coming. But you see here, this ark was fashioned after the work of Christ. I want you to see how, again, praise the Lord. For as the ark, I believe, is a picture of salvation here. Number one, in that it was special. It was special. Look at verse number 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. It was special. Special in this. This is the only time that gopher wood is mentioned. Now there's all kinds of people and False versions of the Bible will replace that word with cypress and other things. But the fact is, it's gopher wood. You say, what's gopher wood? I have no idea. Nobody knows. Is it in existence today? Not do we know. But obviously, Noah knew what it was. And obviously, when Moses was told to pin it down, Israel understood what it was.
Right.
Say, was it in existence? I don't know. I believe, and I do not buy into the fact, this is Travis Burke's personal opinion, so you know what that's worth, all right? But if you want to argue, you're right. I'm not going to argue with you, right? But I believe it was something that existed then that does not exist now.
Amen. Right.
I believe it was very, very unique. It was something that was there because I believe the whole thing pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is only one way to heaven.
Right. Yeah.
It's very unique.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. But this was special. And then, number two, it was spacious. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark. Now, I'll probably get to heaven one day, and Noah will be like, spacious, huh? Yeah. You weren't in there with all the animals, right? That day's probably coming. But, you know, but it had enough room.
That's right.
Rooms for all. And again, we're going to go down to the ark, and we'll get to see a little bit more of that. But it was room for all those and all that God had him bring in. It was spacious, but also it was sealed. It says in verse, number 14, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. I could preach on this a long time, but that word pitch there is also translated in our Bibles as the word atonement.
Yeah.
Atonement. I'm just thankful tonight that our sins have been paid for, and I'm sealed to the day of redemption.
Amen.
Excuse the silly word, but in verse number 15, it was stupendous. And this is the fashion of it, and I'll not read it again, but it was huge. It was huge. But then also in verse number 16, I want you to see some specifics. A window shalt thou make to the ark. And in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. It had some specifics. It had a window, and it had a door. The window, and that word window there is an interesting word to study. If you get out a good concordance, you'll see that word window there is a word that means noon. Noon. Later, it talks about the window when Noah released the birds out of the window.
Right.
And it means a piercing through or an opening through the wood, right? And I believe in both of those different words, we get the idea of what it was. It was a window, but straight up.
Right.
When the sun would be at noon, all right, highest point. And this window is at the very top of the ark. And we know that Noah would use it to release the birds out later to see when dry land had appeared. And we all study that later, probably know it. And I believe also that that window was there because in the midst of it all, I'm sure he spent a lot of time in that boat. But there are many days that Noah just looked up.
Yep. Amen.
Praise the Lord, that window is always open.
Amen.
But not just a window, but a door. A door in the side. Again, we'll talk about it later, but God shut that door when it was time to shut the door. But there was a door. And I believe the window and the door were there because, number one, it was a way to look up. And the door was there because it was a way to look in. Noah continued to preach for hundreds of years, and the door was open. Right now, my friends, the door's open.
Amen.
I believe we're so close to to the rapture in these end days, that if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I would not wait until the invitation. I would come forward now.
Amen.
Let us take the Word of God and show you how you can know you're going to heaven.
Yeah.
There's a window for those in that we can look up and praise the Lord we can. We are to live in these days continually to look up. And those on the outside, the door's open. Look within. You see, number one, it was fashioned after the work of Christ, but number two, it was founded upon the Word of God. Take us to the end of the chapter. It was founded on the Word of God. In verse 17, there was a promised sentencing. It says in verse number 17, "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is on the earth shall die." God made a promise that there was a judgment to come. And that same promise still rings true in 2021. For all those who are without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a promise to come. There is a judgment to come. And I'm thankful today that there is safety in the Lord.
Amen.
There's a promised sentencing, and then in verses 18 to 22, a promised salvation. Praise the Lord, He makes a way of escape. In verse number 18, you see a covenant is made. "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee." A covenant was made that there was safety in the ark. We have been made a covenant. Praise the Lord for it. The blood has been shed.
Amen.
You and I can find safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a covenant that's been made, and then a command that was given. In verses 19 to 21, the command was, he was to take again two of every animal, two of every creeping thing, two of every fowl, and bring it into the boat, and that they might be kept alive. Food was to be brought in. But God said to prepare for this. We need to be prepared for this too. And then thirdly, in verse 22, there was a compliance offered. "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him." Noah completely obeyed God. Because of that, there was salvation. He believed the Lord. He built the ark, Hebrews chapter number 11, by faith, because he believed God, to the saving of his family. I know it's a little bit more teaching tonight, but I just want to stop here tonight and just remind us that, number one, there is a judgment coming.
Amen.
If you're not saved tonight, please come know the Lord tonight. But not only is there a judgment coming, but a way of escape has been made. Praise the Lord for the Lord Jesus Christ. But everybody look at me. You have to choose to enter that. You must run to the ark. You must run to the Lord. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. By putting your faith and trust in the Lord. You say, "Well, what do we do now? I'm saved." Like Noah, let's be preachers of righteousness. Let's share God's word with everybody we can. Take some tracts on the way out, but let's be a witness for the Lord. We serve a great God. And I mentioned before, God always leaves a witness. You say, "Well, how about right now? Who's the witness?" We are.
Amen.
Let's tell somebody this week. Let's share this good news. Let's